Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and tonight we have a special guest on the show. Please welcome Sneakers O'Toole. Oh, no, wait, there he goes. He's skipping down the street and he's not taking his sneakers off. Oh, right, Sneakers O'Toole. And with me, I'm
currently sick as shit. I have nobody intro. But I'm here, so yay.
And
tonight, we do karaoke.
Hey.
What's up, dude?
What's a good karaoke song? I need something that will scare the hoes. Perhaps scaring the hoes.
You know, it'll work. We can do Kingdom Hearts Key. Oh, or wait, I want to say do that, except, well, who would do JPEG's part, who would do Danny Brown's part, who would do Red Veil's part, since that's only someone with a feature.
And we got the guys in marketing trying to figure that out.
I'll just do the last bit of party's over, Grandpa. Fun fact, that was taken from a segment involving two pieces of shit.
Oh, yes. Let me guess, wrestling?
Yes. Good old Sex Pest, Bork Laser, and Jimmy Hart. Don't let him touch my penis, dude. Okay, Daddy.
Okay. Yeah.
That is a context of a very specific show. I will not explain it. Trust me, it's funny. It involved diverticulitis of the penis.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
That's how Hulk Hogan died, and that's how I'm gonna live. He died from diverticulitis of the penis.
Disgusting. But this isn't a penis infection podcast. Never. Nobody needs that podcast. So, yeah, here we are at Decibel Boost Podcast, episode 430. Now, imagine if the broader schedule panned out a bit differently, we'd be recording 420 on 420, but we do plus 10 better because, reasons. Also, maybe I should have used that Jimmy John's coupon I got today, but anyway, how's everyone's week been going?
Not great, Bob. If you can't tell by my very terrible voice, I sound like shit, I feel like shit, I've been dealing with a cold since Thursday, and God, this is a bad one. I've been chugging down medicine like no tomorrow. Hopefully I'm now in the come down phase to where, you know, it's moving out of my system, because God, this sucks. Especially since we were in the middle of a sudden heat wave like Saturday, where it was like 90 degrees. Not fun, but yeah, I've just been in bed, resting up on rest, watching a lot of wrestling shows over the weekend. There were a lot of good wrestling shows on this weekend. WrestleMania was not one of them.
Oh, dear.
Or two of them, in this case. Because, you know, you have options now. You have better shows elsewhere. Yeah, there's not a whole lot's been going on. I've been sick. I sound like shit. That's my week in a nutshell.
All right, fair enough. Mark, what about you?
My week has been the same. I mean, I don't know. I just been either just going to the place to be to work and stuff, and trying to figure out life and shit. Okay, it's like really vague and shit. Was like, yeah, I'm just going through the motions and all that bullshit, yada yada. But trying not to stress away everything, because that's been on my brain as of late. But I think I need to thankfully just slow it down. I mean, thankfully I'm off. Thankfully I was off today and tomorrow, so I could just do nothing. Just try and calm myself down. And on other things. Oh yeah. Okay. In case you're wondering, why did I mention karaoke in opening?
Hmm. That is a good question.
Okay, I think it's since, okay, Rob, since, well, as far as I know, you and I, well, as far as I know, since we both come on the pit, right?
Oh, yeah, I pretty much, like, lock in every Thursday. Oh, God, there's no more pit Thursdays until next year.
Well, them do the karaoke number, like, oh, that's nice. I'm gonna add this. In this, the season was fine. All right, y'all people else that nothing like outlandish happened. It's just the push light ended with whether it be full of either full of bittersweet shit. Something hopeful. Something like, okay, that happened. Yeah, that happened. This is like a just like a day, like nothing, like spontaneous happened. It's just that's a good thing, or at least it's not trying to be.
Remember, people, this is the pit. We don't do that Grey's Anatomy shit here.
Exactly.
But yeah, season of TV.
Yeah. Oh yeah, one more thing to me. Since I was bored, also saw this one movie on Netflix. I believe it's Cosmic Princess Kayuke.
Yes.
I hear that's one of the really good ones.
Yeah, lots of singing. Yeah, not that bad. It's pretty good. Lots of singing, but it was like, okay. The thing, like, okay, I can't with that. But, like, also very, very long. It is. This is something you gotta work. I wouldn't say hang it down, but more like you gotta, make time for it. But yeah, pretty good movie.
Cool. For me, well, I've mostly been trying to catch up on things in the backlog. I finally finished that Kamen Rider anime, which, goddamn, there's a lot of titties in that series. But, fun enough watch. Also, I am officially, as the kids say, marriage toxin pilled. It is my personality for an indefinite period of time, and I do believe that Hikaru and Ushio are endgame. I have read many a chapter in the past week, and you cannot stop me! I will learn about poisons. Everyone's very concerned. But no one's called the cops on me yet, so also, I'm not sure how to feel about that Mountain Dew cream soda that's now in stores. I feel like y'all needed to work out the actual flavor balance.
Yeah, I tried it and doesn't really hit.
It's like, ew. It's like, you want some Mountain Dew with your cream soda? You need it to have more of a subtleness. Think about like when you have a vanilla Coke, like there's that, the vanilla is not punching you in the face. These are the important food takes you come to us for.
I was going shopping. I found a fine store, but I ain't found it yet. That might be a good thing. I mean, a good thing. I know a little bit of thing. Like,
yeah,
I want to say they
you're not missing out on much.
They be doing that dirty soda. Yeah, I want to say they be doing that dirty soda shit down at some places where it's like it's a soda, here's a little cream, and then it's just that. Or am I just I don't know.
I see what you mean. I feel like I've heard the term dirty used to describe cream soda somewhere, but I can't put my finger on it.
I don't know where, but I ain't gonna say it on here right now.
Alright, fair enough. And yeah, nothing really else I can think of. So now it's time to move on from the intro formalities to the usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there'll be a playlist down in the description, so you can follow along with us, mark your calendars for new tunes, pick up some new, all that kind of stuff. Mark your calendars for the things, their songs, albums, it's important, people. So, let's start right up here at the top. As we've been expecting for a while now, we finally got the official word of the latest new studio album from the group Electric Callboy called Tanznade, due out August 7th. We have the latest single, Hypercharge, which comes courtesy of a music video that also is cross-promotion for some kind of multiplayer online battle arena game called Brawl Stars. It's been around since 2018, I believe. Goddamn. So as you can expect from the Electric Callboy style at this point, you definitely have this thumping, energetic, four-on-the-floor techno hook to start things off before it gets into the high-energy metalcore chugs. Of course, the chorus being that super triumphant EDM auto-tuned vocal type thing, complete with a breakdown that is fueled by plenty of a triplet gallop-fueled guitar chugging and all. It is very silly and a fun time.
It's a pretty alright anthemic track. Although it's easy to tell that this is a tie into some mobile game. It could have been a lot worse, though, so I'll give it that. This was a pretty alright. I dig it.
Yep. Now, I'm probably never going to play the MOBA, but, neat animation if nothing else. So, now let's move on to the next track here. You know, I was wondering if we were going to get anything more from the reunited Genghis Tron lineup, especially after, you know, Dream Weapon came out, and that was fucking fantastic. But it looks like there's more coming. So, the group has set June 12th as the release date for their newest studio album, Signal Fire. This, of course, continuing with the lineup that they instituted in 2021, which had, you know, a couple of new lineup additions, mainly Nick Yashison on drums and Tony Walski on vocals, which means that Genghis Tron now exists within the orbit of The Armed. So, we have the lead single here, I Am All, and from the jump, the post-reunion shift in sound is still firmly in place. Start off with this very, like, bouncy syncopated keyboard rhythm, setting the stage, building into this electronic drum groove that eventually is reinforced by real drums. Of course, as that goes on, the synths continue to belt out these fluttering ambient note runs with various multi-layered leads, and of course you get the guitars kind of droning in the background to help build out the atmosphere, especially once you get into this slower groove at about 3.5 minutes, which has some positively beefy guitar chugs. Probably the biggest shift from where, you know, the dreamy synth soundscapes of Dream Weapon came into the fold, this single actually has a lot more harsh vocals thrown in. Something that, yes, the first two Genghis Tron albums had, but was basically completely absent from Dream Weapon. Certainly makes for an interesting first impression of the new album. I'm curious what that change in vocal dynamic will ultimately end up adding to the full record, but hey, I loved Dream Weapon, so I'm down.
So I guess the dark synth sound is spreading across more bands. I'm kind of here for it. It's at least something a bit different for these bands to do, and it makes for a good first half of the track, you know, before the heavy riffage kicks in.
And now moving on to the next track, looks like we have the second single from the upcoming Fire Tools album, Lavender Networks, which, as a reminder, is due out May 8th. The song is called And Where Is the Heart? I've Searched My Entire Home. It's under the floorboards. You know where it is. Like the boots. SpongeBob references. But anyway, so this track also features contributions from Jennifer Holm, who, from what I'm seeing, is apparently like a session musician based out of like Nashville. You start off with this kind of fragmented crystalline synth with this seemingly, like, a bit off-kilter progression, but then it very quickly shifts into a very tuneful set of chords with a lot of the usual Fire Tools production ticks, and that is pretty consistent throughout the song. Sure, you have the occasional, decrescendo and swelling and kind of the overall volume and pacing, but for the most part, what you hear from the start is what plays through the end without a lot of super crazy passages or switch-ups. You know, obviously we got a lot of that in the previous single with the name I can't even really say off the top of my head. Hell, even the guitars, like some of the guitars you hear towards the end are just kind of like straightforwardly writing the rhythm. It's a nice contrast to what I'm sure is still going to be an album full of wild ideas.
I gotta say, out of all the roller coasters, I kind of like this track a lot more because, like, the way it starts, it sounds like some kind of a, like a almost, I mean, almost have one of the finals and another being like something like I want to say something you hear from a preschool children's show, and these are instrumentation, these are something like different. And I like the contrast in vocals. It's like you got the Denver Holmes vocals, like, you know, very soft and very soft. And then contrast with Fire Tools, like very screamo, which is not my thing. Like, okay, that's a good contrast. It's like, oh, there it is. But yeah, I kind of fuck with this.
The only thing I can think of from hearing this and seeing the video for this is, wow, suburban housing lots really are as soulless and colorless as everyone says they are.
Something, something, Black Hole Sun.
Won't you come wash away the rain?
Oh, there are days when I greatly wish for that.
Yeah. Also, make housing more affordable, everyone.
Man. But enough dwelling on that. Let's move on to the next track here. Looks like we got a new song here from One or Tricks Point Never, one that's a leftover from the sessions for a tranquilizer. This one's called Dim Stars. So the base of the song is this kind of sample with a lot of flickering static over top that's, you know, very coded in echo reverb, and of course a lot of stuttering syncopation. I almost want to say, okay, so I know since this is from Tranquilizer, it's probably drawing from the same library of, like, Internet Archive samples and all, but something about this kind of feels like a piece of ambient, like, Silent Hill music, like a save room theme or something, but that's just me. As the loop continues, you, of course, work in, like, nature recordings of tweeting birds, along, like, these very, like, synthetic human-like voices and various other production staples. Like, there's plenty of guitar and bass in there, and it uses exactly the kind of, you know, production tones that you hear whenever those musical elements always come up in OPN's music. So, as an interesting, like, you know, leftover from the sessions, I do dig the vibe of this overall.
Yeah, I can say the same thing here. I kind of wish it was on the album itself, but I kind of dig this. I kind of dig this, yeah. Pretty good.
Alright, and now, picking up on a segment from last week's episode, you might remember that there were some mysterious VHS teasers being mailed out to fans of the music duo Boards of Canada. And now it looks like those teasers have paid off in the form of the release of a brand new song. Their first material since 2013's Tomorrow's Harvest, just about. And this one is called Tape 05. And the track in question, now, I would like to state that I did eventually go back and listen to all of the Boards of Canada discography, so this is, you know, relatively on short notice as far as my impressions. This track is kind of sparse. Like, it's mostly built around this very ethereal set of synth melodies that continues pretty uninterrupted, although, you know, as the track goes on towards the end, you do have some violin and harp accompaniments for, you know, a little bit towards the end. It does sound very nice, but, you know, having listened through the Boards of Canada albums, there definitely is, like, slightly less sonic detail in comparison to some of the more elaborate material the band, the duo's put out over the years. But this could always just be setting the stage for more. And what would more look like? Who really knows? How many other tapes are there? Clearly, there have to be at least 5. Could there perhaps be, I don't know how many tapes there would be, like 10 maybe? 18? Their albums have, like, lots of tracks on them, is what I'm saying.
My guess is there may be 6 tapes. Or 7 tapes. You never know.
Oh my god, 7 tapes.
Yeah, for as hard-coded as their style of nostalgic reminiscence is in their music, this is just a really good ambient piece of music all on its own. What does it mean for a potential new album? I have no idea. Let's just wait it out and see what comes next. Possibly from tape 6 or tape 7. I'm very sick. Pardon my bad jokes.
Mine aren't any better, to be fair. Now we move on to the next track here, which is single number 2 from the upcoming Kacey Musgraves album, Middle of Nowhere, due out May 1st. And this one is actually the title track. So how exactly do you follow up a song where the fundamental point is, God, I need some dick? Well, with a song where the point is, God, I don't need that dick in my life. Specifically, this is a pretty succinct track at like 2.5 minutes. The lyrics are all about like moving on from a bad relationship, one that was apparently so off-putting that being in a literal and figurative middle of nowhere is preferable to being with this kind of, you know, emotionally ragged, immature dickhole. Structurally, the track switches between this very steady 4/4 country rhythm and a slightly slower 6/8 tempo. Again, lots of, you know, acoustics, vocals, very focused instrumentally, apart from, you know, some slide guitar accentuating everything in the mix. It's a solid enough track. I do dig the vibes, but yeah, I still kind of like the first single better. I'm sorry, it's kind of more relatable.
Relatable, sure. But for me, this is just a pretty alright country song. And I'm a right sucker for some good pedal steel guitar licks, so I give this a thumb up. Short, sweet, and to the point. I dig it.
Yeah, same here. I'll say, you put it on, I'll be like, okay, puzzle to it.
Cool, cool. Now, that brings us all up to the final track here. Probably one of the most anticipated as far as like the discourse in terms of albums and such, because we finally have word of the newest upcoming studio album from singer Olivia Rodrigo, scheduled for June 12th. Her third album is titled You Seem Pretty Sad for a Girl So In Love. And of course we have the lead off single here, Drop Dead. Now, lyrically the song is, well, actually a bit less harsh than what you might expect from a title like that. While it is a song about a relationship, as is tradition, it's less, this sucks so bad, you make me want to drop dead, and more, this is going so great that if I get kissed, it might just kill me and send me to heaven. At least that's what I assume the sentiment is supposed to be. Now, instrumentally, it kind of has, like, a lot of synths that build into kind of, like, this mix of drums, guitar, and, like, strings and all. It's definitely somewhere in the middle zone of, like, you know, pop ballad and kind of new wave, you know, sort of like as is her leanings because she likes, you know, pop punk and all that sort of stuff. The vocal flow kind of shifts a little, you know, quite a bit all over the song. Sometimes it's very, like, sing-songy sort of melodies. Other times there are a lot of these very rapid-fire verses which, you know, play on a lot of very specific lyrical sentiments such as, have you ever been to Japan or taken the Eurostar to France? I've been dropping hints all night that I'd love it if you held my hand. Goddamn. It's an alright song overall. You know, it's definitely way better of a lead single than a fucking vampire. But I think if I have an issue, it's that I feel like there's kind of the tunefulness of a lot of the melodies and chorus structures is a bit at odds with how the vocals are presented. Especially in the chorus where, like, you can notice there's a bit of clunkiness in how some of the vocal phrasings try to work in certain lyrics. Like that whole looking like an angel on the walls of Versailles thing. And, of course, when it's getting really fast in the verses and all. But, overall, not a bad first impression for what this new record could be.
Okay. Now's the time to see where she lands with this third album. That's usually the barometer metric for how a pop act is going to go in their career. How does the third album fare? Kind of hard to tell after just this track. It's got plenty of 2000s indie rock flair to it, and the video being VHS coded is fine, but I can't get a good read out of this yet. I think we're gonna have to wait for the whole album to drop to see where it's going to land.
The only thing I got to add to this is the title of the album, You Seem Pretty Sad for a Girl So In Love, sounds like an anime title that would have come this season.
Yeah.
It just sounds like that. Even the way it's stylized, like it's just all lowercase.
You know, I do see that, yeah. Probably one of the middle rom-coms. Not great, not terrible, but, you know, there. But, yeah, that about does it for the new song discussions. We're going to take a little bit of a break, and when we come back, we have a bit of news to talk about, so stay tuned. And we're back. So, we have two news topics here. First of which is probably one of the biggest going on in the music industry right now. That is the continuing ongoing trial of, you know, everybody versus Live Nation. And a while back we had discussed, you know, the latest updates in the trial, which was that the lawsuit would continue despite the fact that... you know, certain powers that be decided they were just going to try and toss Live Nation a, okay, you get a slap on the wrist, but don't cause any more problems, you hear? And then they go on to cause more problems anyway. So, what exactly could be the latest updates in this situation? What could possibly merit more news discussion? Well, we got them! Yes, 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 folks, after a 5 weeks of trial in Manhattan court, the jurors sided with a coalition of state attorneys general, God, I hate that phrasing, who sued Live Nation and has been officially declared last week that the two companies, Live Nation and Ticketmaster, violate federal and state antitrust laws and are a fucking illegal monopoly. Even during the closing statements, it was argued that the concert giant was a, quote, monopolistic bully that had harmed competition. So, now we have an official verdict that Live Nation has to take some kind of an L. But according to the Billboard piece here, all eyes are currently on Judge Aaron Subramanian. I hope I said that right. Now they have to make a verdict in terms of like, okay, so does Live Nation sell Ticketmaster, which is what everyone pretty much wants? Or are they going to just ban certain anti-competitive conduct? I mean, either way, some kind of precedent has to come spitting out of this. Like, bro, it's on the record. The judge just gave you an L. Y'all ain't going to be that slick now, are ya?
There hasn't been a whole lot in terms of updates. It's a very slow deal. But I can tell you, at least in Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia Attorney General has come to an agreement that will cause Live Nation to pay the District of Columbia up to nearly $10 million as a settlement of this whole ordeal. Possibly the first of several to come, because remember, this is not through the federal government. This is through 33 state attorneys general. That's how it's working. It could be the first of many payouts to come. Not over yet. There's still a lot more that needs to come out of this, and I think we're just crossing our fingers that this company dies, because just die. Just die already. Die and don't come back.
Yeah, and of course, as you can expect, despite the likes of New York Attorney General Letitia James correctly pointing out that Live Nation and Ticketmaster have taken advantage of fans and artists by raising prices for tickets and stifling competition, and, you know, making various other statements, it looks like Live Nation is still trying to flail about, kind of like Drake in the aftermath of the Kendrick beef, saying that they were immediately going to ask a Judge Subramanian to overturn the verdict, saying, quote, "The jury's verdict is not the last word on this matter. Pending motions will determine whether the liability and damages rulings stand. Of course, Live Nation can and will appeal any unfavorable rulings on these motions." I mean, I feel like the jury's verdict does kind of have to set a lot of things in stone. Maybe not all of the things, sure, but like, I mean, come on, saying the jury's verdict is not the last word is like acting like you can be a Catholic that disagrees with the Pope.
Oh, God. I'm reading through the piece. There was one thing that I need to point out. Litigator Jeffrey Kessler, this is his words, in response to the quote of robbing them blind, baby, that's how we do, Kessler says, or asks to the jury, who talks like this? What type of company uses this language? The answer I think you will find is a monopolist who views itself to be above the law. When your evidence of your wrongdoing is very much out in the open through all those Slack messages, I don't think you're going to have a very good time trying to find a judge to be on your side.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Live Nation. Actually, no. No luck. Take the L. It's literally already in your name.
Yeah. And hopefully, if you consider you will be in a legal monopoly, maybe somebody else, maybe some other company will get the picture of y'all should be monopoly. Especially one that's, not necessarily in the music thing, but to another thing, but yeah, you get the point.
There are so many things that we need to get sorted out. It's not going to happen for a while. Let's just lay it out here. It's not going to happen for at least 2.5 to 3 years.
A man can dream. But we'll pick this thread back up if any further developments ensue anytime soon. So for now, we are going to move on from that to far less exciting news. That being, the official inductees have now been revealed for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame class of 2026. So, of the various nominees from, last time we spoke about it, this year, your inductees include the likes of Oasis. Yay. Phil Collins. The Wu-Tang Clan.
Okay, it's better.
Joy Division / New Order.
Okay.
And rounding out as well, you get the likes of, is it Sade or Sade?
Sade.
Alright, Sade.
Yeah.
Sade.
Yeah.
Iron Maiden. Billy Idol. And Luther Vandross. The actual induction ceremony is set for November 14th. And of course, the month later, it's going to end up on ABC and Disney Plus. So,
cool.
Yeah, cool.
Okay.
Also, apparently Liam Gallagher was being a little bit of an annoying cunt in all of this. But then again, what else is new with the Gallaghers?
Good lord.
Ugh. I want to thank all the people who voted for us. It's been a real honor ever since I was a little kid singing in the shower. I dream about one day being in the Hall of Fame. It's true to say anything's possible if you have a dream. Also, something about reverse psychology. God, I do not like this person. I do not like this man and his existence.
Nobody does. Not even his brother.
Yeah, I'm amazed that...
How that tour survived is nothing short of a divine intervention. I'm just saying.
God is real. And apparently he decided Oasis get a pass. I'm not sure how to feel about that.
Yeah. I'll say these other motherfuckers seen that they're, actually, grateful for this shit.
Yeah, but... I mean, hopefully it all goes well for that, induction ceremony. Who knows, there's probably going to be some decent performances or something. But, yeah, congratulations to all them. We'll pick this back up again next year. Now, with the news out of the way, there's only one more thing to take care of before the sign-off, and that is the new album releases for the week of April 24th, 2026. Starting at the top, from the extreme metal band Portrayal of Guilt, we have Beginning of the End. From At the Gates, we have the big posthumous album, The Ghost of a Future Dead. From Sepultura, we have their final EP, The Cloud of Unknowing. Atreyu is apparently still around with a new project, The End Is Not the End. Can't it be, though, please? Anyway, from Go Away, Chris Barnes.
Oh.
Yeah, we have a new 6 Feet Under album, Next to Die. I learned my mistake the hard way. I'm not going back.
I actually think it's pronounced next to...
Please never do that again, sir. Or at least give me a trigger warning. God, the PTSD is strong. But anyway, from King Gizzard drummer Cavs, we have their new solo album, Sojourn. For the band Failure, we have their new album, Location Lost. From Kalani, we have a self-titled project. Yoasobi are putting out their new English language release, E-Side 4, which, you know, is just a bunch of songs of theirs, but recorded in English, including, if I recall correctly from the track list, the first opening theme for Witch Watch.
Ah!
That was fun.
Oh, yeah.
Then, of course, there's the new Foo Fighters album, Your Favorite Toy. Good luck with that one. And last, but certainly also least, in the year of our Lord, current year 2026, Meghan Trainor with a new album titled Toy With Me.
What the? Okay.
Apparently people...
Your favorite toy with me.
Yeah. Oh, right. I didn't even notice that. There's an unholy union that some weird kid with way too much time on his hands is going to do in FL Studio. Not me, though, because if the gates of heaven are real, I want to get in, thank you very much.
Ugh.
So, yeah, that does for all that. Now time for, closing out, clean house, get the hell out of here. Alex, you know where to find his stuff. It's in the description of this episode. Mark, what about you?
Of course, I'm on Blue Sky at Back to the Media. And, of course, my site, mind the hype one, hypeone.com. I just did that stuff a while ago. The whole anime stuff a while ago. You know the stuff, and some shit might happen there. Yeah.
Cool. And as for me, you can find me on Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@swearresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow the website on Blue Sky at swearresolution.bluesky.social. Visit the website, swearresolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all that good stuff. And of course, find the link to the Discord there so you can also have takes about Mountain Dew flavors and anime and games and all that fun stuff. So thank you for tuning in this week. We'll be back later on this week with the album roundup for the month of March 2026. And of course, more of the usual weekly shenanigans. So yeah, tune in. And until next time, Blue Sky is forbidden. As Master Shake and my Blue Sky feed says, this is what happens when you let AI code your bullshit.
Oh, damn it.